The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
That's awesome. Happy Father's Day, guys. Man, there is nothing like being a dad, nothing like being a father. I have two children. They're grown, Kelsey and Jake, and as a father, there's nothing like watching your kids grow up. And there's nothing like the miracle of them getting through their teenage years, you know? And you not killing them. So, I mean, that is a great miracle. But as a dad, there's nothing like watching your children become parents. Watching your daughter become a mom, or watching your own son become a dad. And it is an awesome, awesome thing. And I think about how we train our children. At home, we are training our children. I talked with Jake, my son, when he was starting to date young ladies, and I'm like, son, when you get real serious with a young lady, you need to spend a lot of time with their family. Not just dinner. I said, because anybody can hide their crazy over dinner, okay? You can't hide their crazy. You go on vacation with them for 7 days. They can't hide their crazy for 7 days. I mean, who they are starts showing. And you know what? We raise our children. And we're teaching our children not by so much the words that we say. We teach our children by what they see us do. Dads, you're teaching your children how to be a father by the way you father your children. Dads, you're teaching your sons how to be husbands, how to resolve conflict, how to love a woman by the way they see you love their mom. The most powerful sermons that we live a lot of times are the ones we live at home. And today we're going to look at a passage of James that's a very pointed passage. It's talking about not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. And so ladies, I'm not excluding you today. But today, men, I really want to just talk to you as one man to another man, as one husband to another husband, as one father to another father, as one big poppy to another big poppy, okay? Let's talk and see what the Word of God says. And it starts off James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 27. So let's read this passage. It says this: "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I've started thinking this week how many sermons and Bible studies I've listened to over my life. So I just went back. I went to about the time I was 15 because I was in church every Sunday. The doors were open, but I don't think I really started paying attention until I was 15. And so I heard a sermon Sunday morning. I heard a sermon Sunday night. I had a Bible study Wednesday night. Had a Bible study Sunday morning. Had a Bible study Sunday night. That's a minimum of five just at church. But then, you know what? Those of us who are super spiritual, we listen to Christian talk radio and we listen to sermons. And we listen to sermons probably, you know what, several a day. But I just went back and I just said, you know what, I'm going to go low side. I'm not gonna think about the books I've read. I'm not going to think about the blogs that I listen to, the articles. I'm not going that. I'm just going to go four. Let's just say I listen to four sermons or read four Christian books a week. And my lifespan from the time I was 15 to now, I've listened to 8,320 sermons. The mark of a mature spiritual person, the mark of a bondservant of Christ, that bondservant where the will of the bondservant is swallowed up in the will of the master. The sign of a bondservant is not that he's a good listener of the word. See, the spiritual growth doesn't come in listening to the word of God. The spiritual growth comes in actually doing the word of God. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We have to be people who actually do the word. Is that an easy thing to accomplish? No, it is awesome. I mean, it's easy to hear the word of God and go, that was a great sermon. That blessed my heart. What does that mean anyway? You blessed my heart. I don't know. I think it's probably just a nice way to say, hey, you preached too long. So, but anyway, verse 23 and 24, it says, but for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing himself, his natural face in a mirror. Okay? Some of us spend more time in front of the mirror than others. I don't spend a lot of time in front of the mirror because it's painful. I don't like what I see. My dad told me that I had a face made for radio. So Trudy finally gained her eyesight when we were about 20 years into marriage. And she's like, oh, goodness, what did I marry? He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. Okay? We're gonna talk about the difference between taking a glance and examining. Anybody ever been to the doctor and you had something seriously wrong with you? Did you want him to just take a glance at you? Or did you want him to do some serious examination? You know, if I'm bleeding out of my ears, I don't want the doc going, yeah, take some Advil, see me in the morning. Advil, see me in the morning. No, I need an MRI. Doc, don't take a glance at it. I want you to examine me. Last year, I thought I was having a stroke. I don't know what was happening. I didn't have a stroke. My hands went numb. One side of my face went numb. I got home, and Trudy's like, what in the world is going on with you, boy? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just me, you know? And she's like, no, one of your pupils is fully blown. The other one's like a pinhole. You're having a stroke. You need to go to the emergency room. I'm like, I ain't going to no emergency room. I got a meeting to go to. So I went to my meeting. I don't know why I went to the meeting, because I couldn't get concentrate because she blew my phone up. I mean, go to the ER. I called your doctor. He said, go to the ER. I'm like, I ain't going to the ER. I got too much to do to just sit in the ER. I'm not going in there and sitting out there in a room full of people. I learned something about an emergency room. When you go into the emergency room and you go, hey, my name's Jeff, and I think I'm having a you're in the back. You don't even get stroke out. I mean, you're in the back. Next thing I know, they're shaving my chest. They're putting things all up. They are examining me. MRIs, CAT scan, all this stuff. And they can't figure out what's wrong with me. Trudy said it was just meanness leaving the body, but I don't know what it was. But they examined me. They looked deeply. And what happens on Sunday is what it should be a catalyst to us, that when we read the Word of God, we're not to just take a glance at it. We're not to listen to the Word of God and leave this place and never bump into it again. We're to read the Word of God, and it should spur something on in us that we go home and we start digging more and we start saying, Lord, is this true in my life? Am I a hearer only? Did that just bless my heart, or is this changing the way I live? And James is saying that a bondservant of the living God doesn't just hear the Word of God. He does the Word of God. And when all we do, when we're coming to church on Sunday and we're coming here out of religious obligation, that's what we're supposed to do as good Christians. We're supposed to come here and listen to a sermon. And we compartmentalize our Christian life. We check the box. And the Christian life, a bondservant, has no life to compartmentalize. A bondservant's life has been totally covered up in the will of his master. No, we have a Christian life. And our Christian life is to permeate into our homes. Our Christian life is to permeate into our workplaces. Our Christian life is to permeate when we go shopping. It's to permeate when we go hunting or fishing or play golf or however you recreate. It's to permeate into every area of our lives. But when we come to church and all we do is we listen and we walk out of these doors and we don't give it a second thought the rest of the day, or when we get up in the morning and we do our morning devotions and we read the Word of God and go, God, that was good, and we say our prayers and we check our boxes and we never give it another thought throughout the day, are we not guilty of just doing some religious activity? James. When you study James, I read it before that it says when you study James, it's like going to get a root canal with no Novocaine. It hurts. It's painful. But it hurts so good. I tell you what, I'm just going to be brutally honest with you. I haven't had any fun studying James. I hadn't. It's a lot easier to preach it. Y'all do it. No, but he don't want us just to be a preacher of James or a hearer of James. He wants us to be a doer of James. Dads, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, listen to me. Your children, I don't need to see and listen to just a hearer of the word. They need to see the Word of God in action in the home. And Martin Luther used to say, who we are at home is who we are indeed. And what kind of message are we sending our children when we live one way at a building we call a church now, and we listen to the sermons and we sing the songs, but we go home and we can't see evidence of that life in our home? We are like a man who has observed himself in the mirror. We look at it, and it reveals who we are. And a lot of times we don't like who we are, so we get on out of the way and we just, you know what, out of sight, out of mind. But we forget who we really are. And the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, it shines light in the dark places of our lives and it reveals our heart. It reveals our motives. It reveals who we really are. It reveals our need of a Savior and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And James is saying, if you're just going to be a hearer of the Word only, man, your life is going to be filled with challenges. Let's go back to James. I lost my mark, sorry. It should just open up to James. Let's look at verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. John 8, 31 through 32, that's the verse that says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? Several weeks ago, we talked about two different Greek words for knowledge, okay? For the word know. There's the word gnosis, which is a factual knowledge, okay? It's factual. And then there's the word epignosis, which is a life-altering knowledge, where it's knowledge that comes in through the mind. The Spirit of God speaks to our spirit, and it starts changing the way we live. Epignosis is life-altering knowledge. And if God's Word, the law, the perfect law of liberty, we shall know the truth, and it should set us free. If we're not walking in freedom, if our life, I'm not talking about sinless perfection here, okay? I'm talking about a pursuit of holiness, that every day our lives are different. Every day we're looking more like Christ. Every day our reflex is more like Christ. If that's not happening, if we're not looking into the perfect law of liberty, if this is just a bunch of factual knowledge, we're walking away and we're forgetting who we are and we're not being set free. You shall know the truth, shall know God's Word, and it shall set you free. God's Word is alive, it's powerful. God's Word, it saves, it convicts, it corrects, it encourages, it judges, it cleanses, it washes us, and God's Word, it transforms us. When I look at verses 26 and 27 of James 1, I think about Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, perfect, an acceptable will of God. When I look at verse 26 and 27, there's a transformation that's going on. And when all we do is hear the Word of God, but we're not actually fleshing it out, we're not living it, we're not obeying it, basically what's happened is we've been conformed to a religious way of doing things. Parents, dads, granddads, listen to me. We got to make sure that our children aren't conformed to a religious way we do things in our house. It's not enough just to get our children to church. We got to get our children to Jesus. They can't be conformed. Hey, my dad used to say it, listen, as long as you're in his house, Sunday morning, you're going to be at church. Sunday night, you're going to be at church. Monday night, you're going to be at church visitation.
Wednesday night, you're going to be at Bible study. And if we have anything else at church, you're going to be there. Well, what if I'm sick, Dad? We'll throw up, you'll feel better, you'll be there. And I was there. But I was lost as last year's Easter egg. Some of y'all get that later. Okay. That was a good one, okay? Y'all were supposed to laugh that one. I was lost. I was conformed to a religious way of doing things, the way I did it in my family. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. Listen, dads, grandfathers, listen to me. Here's what happens when our children are just conformed to a religious way of doing things and they haven't been transformed by the Word of God. When they're conformed only, when they get up out of our control, when they leave underneath our roof and they go to college, you know what you compare them to a chameleon. They change colors and they take on the environment of wherever they're at. And they can come home and they can put on the color of home. And they can come to church and they can put on the color of church. And they can go to the ball game and the party after the ball game and they can put on that color too. And they just change. They got all these masks that they wear. But when you are transformed, when the Spirit of the living God has come into your heart and has changed the person that you are, when you are a new creation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're not just hearing the Word of God, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're living out the Word of God. We are new, we are transformed, and we can't blend in. Because light can't blend in with darkness. It just can't. Dads, granddads, let me ask you a question today. Are you conformed to a religious way of doing something? Or have you been transformed by the power of the living God, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus? The old has passed away, and there's a process of sanctification happening in your life where each day you look less like the world and you look more like Christ. Are you conformed? Or have you been transformed? Here's 3 points on how you know that's happening in your life. It's found in 26. Verses 26 and 27 of James 1. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. 3 great places to start. To know that transformation is happening in our lives, that we're actually doing the Word of God, that we're not just hearing, our speech changes. We talked about speech last week. Quick to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying and slow to speak, but we need to speak. And when we speak, we need to speak life and not death. When we speak, we need to speak we need to speak blessing and not curses. We need to encourage, not destruct. We speak. And when you think about a tongue that is bridled, it doesn't mean a tongue that is shut up. Okay? When you think about a horse that is bridled, the horse is a very powerful, powerful animal. But it has a bit in its mouth. It has a bridle, and it is under the control of the rider. It does. It goes when the rider wants it to go. It goes to the left. It goes to the right. It goes as fast or as slow. It is bridled. Man, I tell you what.
transformation is happening when we realize, you know what? That my tongue is bridled by the Holy Spirit. It's bridled. It is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And it's just painful. It's painful. Because I think of the anger that I showed in my home and the words that I've said. Not being angry at my family, I'm more angry at myself. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Quick to listen to what the Lord has to say. So our tongue, it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, you know what? Another way to tell that we're being transformed, that we're not just hearing, we're actually doing. It's love in action. This said, you know what? Pure and undefiled religion, verse 27 says this, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and to visit widows in their troubles. It communicates in to visiting. It communicates in to, it translates in to showing the love of Christ to those that are helpless and hopeless. I am so thankful that we as a church get to do Love Week, okay? All right? Trudy and I lived in the inner city of Montgomery for 8 years. And you know the time that the people in the inner city resented the most was Thanksgiving. People from the suburbs of Montgomery would come into the inner city of Montgomery one time a year and just pile food on them. And if you waited to give out food in the afternoon, people in the inner city would say, I don't want any more. I got more food and I know what to do with. But next week I'm going to be hungry. How about helping next week? And it's like, no. We did what we were supposed to do. We did it for Thanksgiving. I'm so glad that we're not just doing this to these schools once a year. Because if we just do it once a year, let's just be honest, it's mainly for us. It's mainly for us to feel good. But when you say, you know what, I want to invest my life into you on a regular basis. Dads, grandfathers, our children, spell love, T-I-M-E. Spell it time. And it's the same with the lost. You want to reach the lost? You show them you love them. You spend time with them. You keep coming back. You keep coming back. You even go back when it's hard to go back, but you keep going back. You're investing yourselves. It is love in action. Love is a verb. And the last point is this, the last part of verse 27, it says, we're keeping oneself unspotted from the world. That is something that takes discipline and it takes focus. Because when you walk out the doors of this church, you're going to be attacked. You know what? Some of you are even getting attacked now. The world is pulling you. It is attacking you. How do you keep yourself from being unspotted by the world? You stay in that Word of God. You prayerfully read the Word of God, and you cry out to God and say, God, I want to start this day off to say, I don't want to just be a hearer of this. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, I want to be a doer of the Word. You want to be blessed in what you do? You do the Word of God. Don't just listen to it. Keep the Word of God in front of you. Keep meditating and chewing on it until it's a part of your life and it starts radically transforming who you are. 8,320 sermons. read a book called Same Kind of Different as Me. This old gentleman in there, just as politely as he could say, said, you know what, it looks like we need to do a whole lot more Bible doing and less Bible study. Guys, I grew up in church, and I consider myself to have a teachable spirit. I do. But there's very few times that anybody stands in front of me or you that can tell you anything different than what you've already heard. Those of you that grew up in church, we can't say anything different. God's word never changes. We want to change the world. You want to change your home. You want to change the culture of your home. You want to change the outlook of your home. You want to change your workplace. You want to change your marriage. You want to change your friendships. You want to change your finances. Get on your face before a holy God and ask God to forgive you for being a hearer only. And ask God, the living God, to fill you right now afresh and anew with His Holy Spirit. To give you the power to be a doer of the Word. And the Word says you'll be blessed in everything that you do. I need help with that. How about you? We're going to sing a song. Altar's open. Maybe you need to cry out to God today. And maybe you need to humble yourself and say, you know what, God? I'm tired of just hearing. I want to do. I need you. I need you. You do business with the Lord and do exactly as He tells you to do today. Father, Holy Spirit, would you search our hearts? Lord, I pray that today, of all days, Lord, we wouldn't just be hearers of the word. I pray we would be doers. And Lord, I just pray over the men in this congregation. Lord, the men in this family right now. Lord, I pray that we as men won't be hearers of the word. I pray we'd be doers. And we'll start at home, Father. I pray that our wives would see Jesus in us. I pray that our children and our grandchildren would see Jesus in us. They would see Jesus in our patience and in our touch and in hearing in our laughter, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would turn us and shape us and mold us into the men of God you've called us to be. And that, Lord, we would teach our children just by what they see and how they hear. We would teach them what it means and what it looks like to be a radical follower of Jesus. Lord, please don't ever let us teach them what it means to just be a church goer and a hearer only. Lord, would you do your work in this place today? Holy Spirit, would you rain down on us? Holy Spirit, would you change us? Lord, I stand before you today and tell you I'm not satisfied with who I am. Change me, Lord God. I don't want to just hear with my ears today. Holy Spirit, move in this place. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.